Monday the 19th of February, and you're listening to the Red Army Roundup. I'm your host, Paul Hinton, and as ever, I'm joined by Sean Phillips and Aaron Wren. Hello there, gents.
Hello there, Paul.
Good evening, Paul.
And we are this week to look back at the three-game road trip the Devils have just been on. We'll pick a player of the week, have a little look around the league, and discuss the news of two departing coaches in Corey Nielsen and Peter Russell, before previewing another busy week for the Devils with trips to Sheffield and Manchester, followed by a home game to Belfast. So it'll be Sean to get us cracking, as the only one of the three of us who was able to make the trip to Guildford on Wednesday. Devils ran out 5-2 winners. Sean, a comfortable performance from the Devils?
A very good performance. We definitely had to work hard for our win, but we thoroughly deserved the win. We created a lot of chances. Our shots on goal were very, very good from high percentage score areas. We drove to the net, got a lot of good rebounds, shot for rebounds when we had to and took advantage of it, put a lot of traffic in front of the goalie, Chris Carosi, and when we needed it, Ben Bowser made some absolutely massive saves. Stone Dunbar on the breakaway, and then forced Cruz Red to hit the pipe on another breakaway. He was big when we needed him to be, and we had some of our guys on really good form. Obviously, Joey Haddad getting a brace, Lane Ulmer getting yet another goal. Overall, just a real complete performance. We lost the lead a couple of times, but we didn't lose our cool. We kept stuck with it, and overall, it was thoroughly, thoroughly deserved victory in my eyes.
And yeah, the first winning Guildford this year, so obviously a definite game that would have caused some issues for the Devils. Was it you said Joey Haddad getting a brace? Was he the standout performer for you on the night?
Yeah, I think overall on balance, I'd have to say Bounds, because the saves that he did come up with were at massively well-opportune times, and Guildford managed 25 shots and scored two. So not the best night statistically for Ben Bounds, but two breakaways against a team with some massively gifted offensive talent in guys like John Dunbar and Jesse Craigie, Carl Ackered, and overall, like I said, without Bounds, we wouldn't have won that game, because Joey Dar's goals would have counted for nothing, because they just scored their two goals. And but Joey Dar was fantastic. He was back at his best. The penalty shot was a thing of beauty. Overall, I think just as a unit, we worked really, really hard. Justin has relentlessness to score a goal after having been disallowed just seconds earlier. He did go a little bit Austin Matthews on the goal as well. If you watch the highlights, he sort of does a small spin and almost goes to point at the net, but gives it a little jab and thinks of better of it in this league, given the status of the referee. And so, overall, just a really good, I felt as a team performance, we really, really dug deep and got it done in a place we haven't been very successful this year. So really, really pleased overall.
Excellent. And, another important win. And we've discussed a few times this year, Guildford being our bogey team, but, in actual fact, we've dropped 1 point there in the league this year, and we've made it to the Challenge Cup final, where we've drawn and lost in Guildford. So I think we take that as a bogey team, dropping the 1 point to them. But moving on to Saturday, and I think that we've spoken about Nottingham a lot this year, and we've practically demolished them in the home games that we've had against them so far this year. Well, we're done against them. They've been quite one-sided affairs, but we've really struggled when we've gone there. Travelled up in January and lost the first period 4-0, and a bit of a spirited comeback wasn't quite enough for the Devils. But so it was sort of slightly different this time, Sean. First period seemed to be getting away from us at 2-0 down, but a late goal made it 2-1 at the end, and I don't know, I felt that was going to be our time to settle down, to regroup and come back like we did in the latter periods against Nottingham last time, but from a much stronger position. And not how it turned out in the slightest.
Yeah, for sure. After that first period, I thought we were lucky to be going in there 2-0 and getting the goal. I thought momentum would swing in our favour, to be honest with you. I thought that we'd realise how lucky we were to be going in with a one goal deficit, pick ourselves up. We looked just so flat, so panicked in our own zone in that first period. And Robert Lakovic, who's been, you know, not having the best sort of couple of years, has managed to get 2 on the board. So it was at that stage when we managed to get it back to 1, I thought, yeah, we're going to go to the locker room. Lord's going to just point out how badly we played, and we still only trailed by 1. There was plenty to build on. And yeah, as you said, it went out that way, and we ended the second down by a score of 5-1. And you have to say that all hopes of them were pretty much gone by then.
Yeah, 5-1 down going into the last. Mark Richardson starts the period well for us, on the mark with 3.5 minutes gone.
Nothing short of a travesty. We just seemed to crumble there. Look really panicked and troubled by it against a team which we've hammered at home, and there's really no difference. You know, we play on the same size ice pad. Obviously, they've got the benefits of being at home, getting the last change and all that sort of thing, but there's no excuse for us to be able to absolutely demolish Nottingham at home and then play like that on their pad, because it's just simple. It's unacceptable to go up there and play like that and expect to win. We were last to every puck. We didn't have the body. We offered nothing. We didn't give Bouncy much help. He didn't either. So just nothing worked for us. And it was a bit of a contrast to, you know, we talk about that game in Sheffield a couple of weeks ago, nice Sheffield, where, you know, we looked panicked by every chance they had against us, but they scored every chance that they had, and nothing bounced our way. But in that game, you know, we did try and get ourselves back into it, and we started throwing the body a little bit, and we worked our way to get ourselves a couple of goals back into it. But in this, we just offered absolutely nothing. Going forward, we got slow. We didn't have that sort of rhythm that we've had in the last couple of months, and it's just a bit of a shame to see it play that way, to be honest with you. Sick of going to Nottingham and playing that way, to be quite honest with you.
It's almost like we became our new Sheffield a few years back.
Yeah.
We got Sheffield and looked like we wanted to draw 0-0 almost, which it's not even that in Nottingham this year. It is just a lot of panic. And, you know, you look at where Nottingham are in the league, and we talk about how they're better on paper, but they got taken to overtime. They're back. In the following, I think that's, if that's how they're playing over the weekend, that's not a team we should be losing 7-2-2 at all. At least we're done with it. It felt like we finally broken the Nottingham jinx at one stage this year. And whilst we did overall, the NIC are still not a happy hunting ground for the Devils. Potentially, probably the only team to lose 3 games in Nottingham this year in the league. So Sheffield definitely didn't. I can't imagine that Belfast would. So
quite possibly, we haven't. I think that Sheffield won. Yeah, Sheffield definitely won at least 2. Nottingham, I think, have won there twice. Belfast got turned over there once. I think we probably are in the minority, put it that way.
Well, watching the game, sat quite near a Sheffield fan who pointed out that their last 2 trips, they'd won 9-0 on aggregate. So they've definitely done a little bit better in recent times than Sheffield going to Nottingham. I suppose if you're going to have a poor game and a heavy defeat, you would imagine that the best game to follow that with is a trip to the bottom place team. Belfast may disagree with us. But the Devils headed up to Edinburgh, and just to add to Edinburgh's woes, I think it was about 3 minutes that their goalie lasted, before getting pulled, and Kevin Forshall ended up having to play the rest of the game. And whilst none of us actually watched the game, Sam did a very comfortable 10-2 win for the Devils. And Aaron, you're good to see Tom Moody getting some ice time for you. Well, not see it, obviously. But Moody getting ice time, and I think some reports that, again, we were able to rest players like Joey Martin and Andrew Hoff and play in very reduced minutes.
Yeah, brilliant call. You know, any chance we from now on in that we get the play Moody, I think we should take a rest bounce as much as we can. We know what happened at the back end of last year. You know, bounce took a knock, and, well, we did do a good job, but it could have gone for the worse, and it could happen this year. There's no saying it can't. But, yeah, if we can rest as many players as we can, I don't see why, well, why we wouldn't. I can understand why Lord started bounce on Sunday, with the fact that Edinburgh might have hit a little bit of form, and they beat Belfast, and we didn't have the greatest game against Nottingham. So I could understand, but as soon as we went, I think it was 5-0 after the first, swapped him out, and well, Mertz, he conceded two, but you know, we won the game, and I didn't watch it, but I'm assuming he made a couple of good stops. And like I said, any chance you can rest key players from now on, and take it, because I don't see Hotham playing 35 minutes week in, week out when he doesn't really need to.
And yeah, I think that's the big thing, that even if they're icing, that all lines ice in equal minutes is, you know, is a luxury that, you know, it's not what you're looking for, especially in the latter stages of most games. So you're very pleased to see that. Both Joey Haddad and Drew Parris picked up hat-tricks. Drew Parris having now 4 goals this year, and all of which have come in Murrayfield. So, a bit of an interesting stat there that the Devils shared yesterday. You've got to feel massively for Edinburgh. The players that are there, they, as I said, lost their starting netminder within 3 minutes, and they played with 11 or 12 skaters, you know, massively short benched. To get a win in Belfast is out of this world, that they did it the night before. And I think it was also something like their fourth game in 5 days, or some sort of crazy scheduling they've had to deal with.
Yeah, I think it was four and six or something like that, wasn't it?
So you playing with that, any team is going to struggle in the last game of that stretch, but a team that short benched is always going to struggle. And yeah, it turned out to be that way. Devils out shooting them 49-17. So, you know, a massive disparity, you know, throughout the game. But yeah, it is what it is. We discussed Edinburgh at some length last week. With a good result, but it is still the issue that their fans, their team, the players, they're still getting shortchanged. If they're having to go through that. So, you know, feel for them, but also very pleased with them. That win over Belfast, I think, saved the trip to Nottingham for most of us, and put us in quite a good mood on the rather than sulking over a loss. But we'll choose player of the week, and it's sort of an interesting one that out of 3 games, Sean's seen 2 of them, I've seen 1, and Aaron's not managed to catch any of them, so it's going to be a bit of a stab in the dark for us all, I'd imagine. And I'm going to go first and take the easy way out and pick the guy who's got 5 goals over the 3 games in Joey Haddad. I'm not going to say much about his performance in Nottingham, because it was on a par with the rest of the team. So Joey Haddad gets it for me based on his points production. Sean, having seen an extra game, where's your vote go?
Yeah, well, the extra game, I saw Joey Haddad scored 2 goals, including a worldie of a penalty shot. So, Joey Haddad for me as well.
And Aaron, do we have a clean sweep?
Yeah, clean sweep. Joey Haddad. like you said, score five goals all weekend. Granted, three of them against Edinburgh. But a goal's a goal. And I do think since he's moved up to that top line with Martin and Pope, I think it's given him and Pope Martin new lease of life. And, you know, they look unstoppable with Joey Dadd as the best puck protector in the league. Matt Pope as an absolute bus. And Joey Martin with the scoring prowess and, well, he just does everything perfectly, really, doesn't he? You know, it's a good combination. It's working. He scored five goals this weekend off playing with those guys. So hopefully he can get a couple of more. And I don't know. Why not, Nick? Like, but I do like that towards this side of the year, although he's consistent a lot of the time, Joey Dadd turns around. Like last year, he scored one of the key goals in the Belfast comeback win. You know, he contributed in numerous games towards the end of the year. I do think he's one of our big game players. I think he's got a big personality, and yeah, after a five goal week, if you don't win it, then what else do you need to do to win it?
Yeah, I guess very well put. So congratulations to Joey Haddad. Looking around the league, we'll go to Belfast first. Just mentioned that on home ice on Saturday, they lost to the bottom place team, Edinburgh. They followed that up with a nice, comfortable game. You know, if you're going to bounce back from big defeat against the bottom place team, you're going to choose the second from bottom place team, and you're going to choose it at home to get a comfortable victory under your belt. But they managed to run out losers in that one as well, Sean. And for you, is that Edinburgh definitely in the title race, but is that Belfast in the title race?
Yeah, it is. There's no coming back from it for them. I just don't see it at all. You know, they have got to play us three times, but they need us to drop a lot. And I genuinely don't see Belfast. Even the head coach Adam Keefe conceded that they've all but given away the chance of a league title. They've basically given it to, you know, given it to us on a plate, as in his words. And you know, I can't, if their own head coach has conceded defeat, then I don't see why I should be concerned about Belfast as one of our title rivals.
You know, it's sort of, I think if Belfast were to win out, you know, for the rest of the season, the maximum they could get to is, I think, 9 points ahead of where we currently are. So that's a big ask to win out anyway. And then you're looking at us dropping almost half of the points that we've got. So, you know, Fife and Manchester are closer to us, in terms of potential points. So I think they've sort of stepped into the mantle of being the teams probably in prime position. Manchester being 3 points ahead of Belfast now. They had a 4 point weekend as well as Fife, who had a bit of a ding dong with Braid with Dundee, but managed to pick up an overtime win and also win in the conference. So I think first time Fife have won any trophy in the Elite League era, Sean. Yeah, so, you know, congratulations to Fife. It's nice to see another team winning the conference in Scotland. Obviously, Dundee have done it once, but it's pretty much been the Braehead Trophy. So, seeing that spread around, and, you know, they've had a really good year regardless of what happens in the league. So, you know, it's good to see them getting rewarded and, you know, getting that, the validation of it with a trophy. Hopefully it'll be all they get. They've got a hectic schedule coming up. They've got, you know, it's only an extra two games, so we've got the final coming up. But you look at some of their fixtures scheduling, there's sort of midweeks followed by Fridays with Saturdays and, you know, Belfast in the middle of them and all sorts of things. So it's definitely a difficult schedule, but yeah, it's an interesting one. But yeah, Belfast didn't have the best of weekends. And speaking of not having best of weekends, Corey Nielsen and Peter Russell over this week were announced as departing at the end of the season. Didn't obviously mention that was announced just before the Devils went there, so may have had something to do with the result on Saturday. Before we talk about them sort of specifically, Aaron, what's your sort of thoughts on announcing coaches as being due to leave at the end of the season. And it's not a common occurrence in sports. Usually a coach goes when a coach goes. What's your thoughts on that approach?
I found it a little bit odd, to be honest. I can understand why Panthers, you know, did, like, potentially sack or whatever they did to Corey. You know, he didn't have a great year, but I think it's a little bit odder, and I think it's really unfair towards him as well. But then it does give the fans and possibly like players to give Corey Nielsen a sincere goodbye that he deserves, because, you know, he's done no end of work with that Panthers team. He's played there, he's been there longer than the
12, 13 years, I think it is.
Exactly. You know, he's had testimonial. I think, you know, he's one of the Panther greats in, he's won them league trophies, Challenge Cup trophies, and a playoff trophy as well. I've seen him win that. That was a fun time. But, I think he's a coach that deserves a good send off, and maybe that's their motive behind it. But I did find it a little bit odd, because you're like pretty much admitting defeat, whereas, you know, they could still call the season a success if they win the playoffs. If they win the playoffs, then, you know, they've gone the furthest in a European competition as a British team, and they've won this, what people class as the second most prestigious trophy in the elite league. So you can't really call that fair season. But it seems
I would massively disagree with that. I think a team of Panthers standings finishing, well, currently sitting seventh, they've got some games in hand on Guildford. But, you know, rightly, if they won their games in hand, they'd be sitting sixth. A team of Panthers size shouldn't be sitting that far and sitting, so I'm just trying to have a look, 20 points off the league leaders, even after a victory over them on the weekend is, you know, I wouldn't want to see that at the Devils. I think if we'd have had the season that they've had, I would be disappointed, and I would think that Andrew Lord's position should be in question. And I think following up on a very similar league campaign for them last year, I'm not massively surprised. I'm surprised at the timing of it. Sean, your opinion on it?
I can see where Aaron's coming from in the sense that, you know, like you said, when a coach is gone,
just as I did interrupt Aaron, if we'd have had the season they'd had, Aaron, would you consider it as a successful season?
Not up until now, but I think it's the same with playoffs every year. If you take, like, if you look at, from our standpoint, last year was the best year we possibly could have had. But yeah, I know we missed out in the playoffs, but, you know, we won the league, we won the Challenge Cup, we won the conference, we made the CHL. That's like tip top of what we wanted to do, more than what we wanted to do. But the last ringing bell in your head after the season was over and before signing started and the CHL campaign began, the last thing in your head for me was losing that playoff final to Sheffield. So I think if Nottingham could win that playoff, it kind of like puts a plaster over what was a terrible year, but I still think they had a decent season. I think if you count in the injuries they've had, you know, they didn't really, I think Garnett's a decent goalie, but I think they could have picked up better. I wouldn't say I've got a soft spot for him, but like, I don't know. I do feel for Corey, because he's been there for years and he's done so much for the club, and it's like, right, you've had two shit seasons and you haven't won nothing. Basically, off you pop. And I don't think, well, it is fair because, you know, that's the way the elite league works, you know. But I think if he could win the playoffs, I think he's done as best as he can with what's been put on the plate for him, whereas, like, probably played more games than anyone else, because they was up until the final of the Challenge Cup. They've been riddled with injuries this year, and it could be the icing on the cake for me. Anyway, I can understand what you're saying They haven't done nothing. They've like you said, they're seventh in a league where there's only 12 teams, and we've walked over them nearly every time we've played them at home. But their crowds are up. I don't know. I think not deserve more credit, but I think if they win the playoffs, I wouldn't say this season was a failure.
Yeah, Aaron mentioned the term sticking plaster, Sean. It's been said, it's been levied at Corey Nielsen Online a number of times that he sort of plan to the job with a stick and plaster of either a Challenge Cup or a playoffs, or for a number of years both. Do you think that's just that level of success is one thing with the Panthers?
Yes and no. I think, like Aaron just said, Corey's been there for, I think it's gone 13 years, so. And I think it worked out that I listened to the cast whiskers last week, and I think it was like, it was basically equivalent to a trophy a season, which is fantastic. But I think it's only fantastic if if you win a trophy and you're up, competing for the league title within the last three, four weeks. Nottingham haven't competed for the league title since that year they won it. They haven't even been close to winning it, to be quite honest. And I can understand why Nottingham feel like it's time for a change. He has been very successful. I think he will go on to, maybe better things. I think in his interview he did with BBC, he's talked about, potential job in Austria, Switzerland, in the KHL. So I think that the time is right for both of that, for the two sides to part company. And that's sort of why I think that this, the coach is leaving at the end of the season, not now, is sort of understandable, because, he hasn't been given the sack because it's simply just the fact that they're not going to renew his contract. What's the point in getting rid of him now to bring in a coach, short term? But then I can see what you're saying, and why not just announce it at the end of the season? But for a player, for a man who played that long for that team and coached that team for so long, the guy who's got a number in the rafters, on their back banner, I should say, I think it's the right way for them to do it. And I understand where they're going from. If we'd had, if we have a terrible year next year, Andrew Law's last year of his contract, I'd expect us to do the same thing if we're out of it with a couple of months to spare. I don't see what benefit Nottingham would get from getting rid of him now. And I also think it can work as a motivational tool for the players, the fans, to get back on board with the team in their last couple of months. I can see why they're doing it that way. And I think the time is right for the two parties to part company. Corey to go on to something new. Nottingham do need a change in culture there. I think Corey has been papering over the cracks for a number of years. He's the first coach to win a title there since 1956, I think it was. They've had worse coaches over the years, but I just think that now is the time for some change in that organisation. I think it's the right time for both of them, and it's the right way to do it.
Yeah, we've used the term papering over the cracks. He is papered over the cracks by being probably the best coach I've ever seen in a one-off final. So, if you had to pick a coach to take a team to a championship game, it'd be Corey Nielsen for me. He's an outstanding career overall, but yeah, I think I agree with Sean overall that it's probably the right time. And, well, disappointingly, I'm quite happy with seeing Nottingham down in 6th, 7th place in the league, but maybe we'll see something different next year. And it'll be very interesting to see who ends up in the position. Dave Clark's obviously been player assistant coach for a while now. Rick Strachan is the current assistant coach to Corey Nielsen. Whether look at promoting internally, or you're bringing someone new in, or even someone on, Paul Adey's a name that's been, I've seen mentioned online a couple of times. So
do you see them, Paul? do you see them going down the route that Belfast have gone, and you know them looking to put Clark in there long term in any case, and just sort of thinking bullet and do it now? Do you see Nottingham doing that, or are they not the sort of club which, you know, or was Clark maybe not that player?
I think it's a possibility. I think he's obviously been an assistant coach for long enough now that, you know, if they're succession planning, that's what you'd look for. But I'm not convinced that he'd be looking to hang up his skates and agree with you that I don't really think they'd go down a player-coach route. And so if you're moving Corey Nielsen on, do you change a culture by keeping Rick Strachan there, who's been, you know, a massive part of the team for a number of the years that Corey Nielsen's been the coach? I think probably the year after he started coaching, I think Strachan came in. So if they're looking for a total clean out, I think thinking about it, I would probably expect to see a new coach come in, maybe continue with his assistant role, maybe moving onto the bench in a year or two then, and you're becoming a full-time assistant coach rather than player assistant coach. And then that being the start of his succession. So he's, you know, the coach after the next coach rather than the next coach potentially. The Adam Keefe, comparison is a good one. That, you know, he's gone into Belfast, he's done a good job. Obviously, you know, we spoke a while back about first time coaches, you know, sometimes struggling to get over the line, and maybe that's what we're seeing in Belfast now. But you know, he's shown it, Andrew Lord's shown it, that you can take that gamble and it can sometimes pay off. Obviously the other news with Peter Russell leaving, Aaron, your thoughts on that? It's another team who's had some big injury problems, but they started the season, well, before the season, I think we all thought that they'd recruited better than Guildford. The first month or two, they were competing at the same level as Guildford, but, you know, they're now sort of sitting down in 11th and looking like they're going to be finishing there or thereabouts. So, a surprise move for you?
Yeah, I thought so. You know, Pete Russell, he is... Well, I've heard good things about him. You know, he won the GB gold medal back last year. I thought he recruited well. I was really surprised by the decision, to be honest, but maybe people or other teams have seen something they like in him, and maybe they've picked him up before Milton Keynes give him an offer, or maybe they give him a better offer and he's taken it, and they've chose to announce it now instead of the end of the season. Again, weird, unusual, but he's another coach who's done, he hasn't been there as long as Corey was at Panthers, but he did do quite a lot, I think, with Milton Keynes. I think he won a couple of trophies there, so maybe they think he's part of the furniture there. And but yeah, I don't really know a lot about Milton Keynes except for Doucette plays for him. And
Sean, would you expect him to stay in the UK, especially given his position as GB head coach?
Yeah, I think so. I don't see him being... I think it's something he wants to do, obviously, professionally at a full-time basis. So I don't see him dropping down to the... Is it even the NIHL now? I think that's what it's still called. So... I don't see that. I think there is, you know, an opportunity for him in this league. So I don't think Nottingham is the place for him. I don't see that being where he's going to end up. But yeah, I think that he'll definitely be in the country next season.
Yeah, so two departing coaches already. So it's cutting down the amount of stuff we're going to have to talk about in the off season with all these coaches being announced during the year. That was lucky this week, given that none of us have seen any of the Devils games. We'll be putting that right this week, though, with the three games that are coming up. Starting with a difficult trip to Sheffield on Wednesday. The last time Devils went there was in the first leg of the Challenge Cup, obviously lost by four. I think the second leg went all right for us.
Don't forget, though, Paul, it was an away game for Sheffield as well, that game. And they still beat us.
Sheffield, so it doesn't count, does it? Yeah.
It was an away game for them as well, so you know.
Really?
I believe it has been used as one of the part of excuses. And if it hasn't, it'll be being added as we speak. Sheffield are going to be wanting to make amends for that 7-1 defeat, Sean, surely, and a very difficult game for the Devils coming up.
Oh, yes, they're going to want blood. Yeah, off the back of what was a mixed weekend, not a very good performance in Nottingham. To go to Edinburgh and take 2 points was what we expected and what we should have got. If we had lost in Edinburgh, we didn't deserve to win anything this year. Put it plain and simply as that. So this is a bit of a weird test for us. Obviously, we need to be a lot better than we were on Saturday. We need to be a lot better than we were on Sunday as well. It's still a Sheffield Steelers side, which is strong and can punish you. It's got some skill in there. And these midweek games to Sheffield never go well for us, historically speaking. So that does concern me. It's one of the games in this very, very, I think it was a five road.
Yeah.
So, this is, four or five. It's one of the games which I did, looking at that set of fixtures, I expected us to, maybe drop this one coming up. And yeah, it's a big ask for two points out of that one. And, Sheffield are going to be looking to build on an overtime victory they got in Coventry. They were down, I think it was, they were down 3-0, I think possibly at one stage, and they came back to win that game in overtime. So, they sat Zach Fitzgerald. Zach Fitzgerald was their healthy scratch in that game. Interested to see on whether they're going to scratch him again against us. It's not the sort of game which I expect him to miss, against a team like ours. So, yeah, I don't really know which way to call it. It's a hard game. It's in the middle of a long road stretch. We had a great game in Guildford last week. Saturday and Sunday were poor. I really, really can't call this one, to be honest with you.
Definitely a difficult one. Aaron, if you want to give your thoughts on it quickly, but then, straight off the back of Sheffield following that, another difficult trip to end this road stand with the second place Manchester Storm, who seem to be hitting a brilliant vein of form again at this late stage of the season.
I do really think out of both games, the Manchester game will be a lot more difficult than the Sheffield game. We've won in Sheffield before. Many times we've won trophies in their back garden. So I think we know how to play there. We kind of, bar the 4-1 or 4-0, wherever we lost in the first leg, bar that, I think we've had their number this season. We've beat them a number of times. So, yeah, I do think I am worried because we're at that point in the season where every game stresses me out massively. But I do think out of the next two away games, that's the easier one. And Manchester, a 9-game winning streak. Players who've scored like almost 30 goals this season. Players who are I think they got 3 or 4 players in the top five point scoring. So I'm expecting a lot of firepower coming towards us. I'm expecting them to make a lot of big saves. And the biggest factor, like we had in the first 2 years of Lowe's ring, they've got a perfect ring to beat teams in. We did it for 2 years, come close to the league, won the Challenge Cup. The next year, come close to the league, come close to the Challenge Cup. And let's not talk about playoffs, are you? But yeah, we should know what to expect of a team playing in a rink that size, but we haven't got a team built to that, whereas we did 2 years ago. So I do think we'll struggle a little bit, but let's end their winning streak and put them on a losing streak, is it? Because they're the one team out of the three that's in the race at the moment for the title that I'm most worried about. And I do think they could turn up and do a job on us. And we got to play them another time after that. So let's get a number in that game and turn them over. That would be nice.
It most definitely would be nice. As you said, really tough place to go, Devils. Just scraped an overtime victory last time you went there in December, after conceding a late equaliser. We've seen already this year that it's not an easy place to go by any stretch. And our very not easy weekend or week rounds off with a visit from Belfast. They've had a poor couple of weeks. They had a 0 point weekend this weekend. They obviously had a 0 point weekend the weekend before we went over there for the double header, and they'd lost to Manchester the week after we went there. So there's been a lot of points dropped by Belfast recently. They've got a really tough weekend. They host Sheffield on Saturday before making the trip over to Cardiff. Sean, your thoughts on this one? You expected a wounded animal looking to bounce back, or do you think maybe the fight might be a bit taken out of them and they'll have more focus on the Challenge Cup final the following weekend for you, potentially?
Maybe they may be a bit of a wounded animal, but obviously they've got to come back the following week and play in a Challenge Cup final, like you said. So they're going to want to, I think they're going to want to start with some momentum. They're going to want to, prove to themselves that they can win in that barn again. They've done it every game this year. They've beaten Belfast at Ice Arena Wales in the league this year. So, yeah, they're going to look to continue their rich vein of form in that building. And I think it would be wrong for them to come in with a mentality of, let's just take it easy, we've got a big game here next week. I think they've got to go and set the tone in advance, and that's what I expect them to do. They're not going to want to make it, I think they know that we're going to go the distance and we're going to finish ahead of them in the league, but I think they're going to want to make us work for it and earn it. So, yeah, I think they're going to give us a game, for sure.
Yeah, as Sean said, Aaron, we've lost both games, one in overtime, one on penalties. So far this year, what are you expecting from the game?
Well, I'm expecting to do something right at the moment, but take a W for once. But I don't know. I think we could be a little bit tired. Manchester the night before and Sheffield on Wednesday. It's only a day of rest in between, and I'm assuming that's not going to be much of a rest because they've got to concentrate on two big games, but. It's not going to be easy at all, but I think I'm going to disagree with Sean. I do think that they will take it a little bit easy, not necessarily rest players, but try and keep bodies off the ice. I don't think we'll see much physicality off them, because I think Keith may be worried about taking a knock for the week after in the Challenge Cup final, but It's a tough one. It's Keith's first final, so you've got to see how he's going to play the games before. And I think if there was a little bit more in the league race, I think they would, go full pelt and not worry as much about the cup. But I think it's obviously their best chance to win a trophy. And as you said, they beat us twice at home, and on the double they beat us there as well. So they beat us in the one game there. So maybe they'll just sit back and relax a little bit and go full pelt for the final, but it'll be nerve-wracking, because I think if we take the 6 points this weekend, you could, not jinxing it, but you could say we are almost done and dusted, so
you could start getting the ribbons ready for the month.
Exactly, yeah, you get the balloons and the
ribbons.
Yeah, so, but, Belfast got a lot to look forward to the week after, so they could poop on our party, and I don't want that to happen. So, yeah, this 6 point week. That's what I want. If I take anything less, I don't know, nothing will happen, because I'm a little.
Not really a lot you can do about it, is there, if we're honest. So,
no, exactly.
But it would definitely be nice. Huge week coming up. Has become the catchphrase of the show. Also, we've made it all the way through the episode before I say happy anniversary, guys. It is 3 years to the day since the very first Red Army Roundup was recorded.
Wow.
So, to those of you who've been listening since day one, thank you very much. And to those who've started listening since, welcome.
Wow, is that 3 years since that trip to Coventry in that semi-final? Andrew Lord's brother beat
3 years ago yesterday was Andrew Lord's buzzer beater in Coventry on the road to...
We recorded the podcast the day after. Wow.
We did. We were so excited that we had to get on Spotify and tell the world our thoughts on it. So you can blame Andrew Lord for what you've just sat through. But you know, thank you to everyone who's listened to this episode. Thank you to everyone who's listened to us, tweeted us, Facebooked us, or whatever over the last 3 years. It's been awesome, and it's always great to see, you know, when we check, look at the listener numbers, that there are people out there who actually care about our random ramblings. So this week, get your burning questions in, get your 3 year anniversary burning questions, your R-mates into us. We'll talk about them all next week, where I'm sure after this weekend, we're going to have plenty of topics of discussion are going to come out anyway. So from Sean, Aaron, and I, thank you for listening. Thank you for the last 3 years. And that is your Red Army Roundup. Devil inside, every single one.